Okay, Shalom Rabbi Yisai. We are in Shavuot Selikim, the last Perek, Perek Yud. We're taking our time, inching our way to the end of it. We're on page Reish Tzadiches. And we're discussing the application of our different midot in our service of Hashem. So we began discussing Rachamim, the midah of mercy, Rachmanus. So we began discussing how when it comes to needy people, Hashem wants you not only to be kind to them, to give them, but to actually try to really feel what they're feeling. Make the efforts to actually feel what they're feeling. I'll just touch on one or two of the other things that he noted. He said, Misha pokad toivo rabba. He's like kind of like just indexing different aspects of sensitivity when it comes to Rachmanus. There's a person who suffered a great loss. Now, that's not necessarily the same as a needy person. There's a fine point here. A person who lost his fortune. Not necessarily the same as a needy person. And here's where we make it a little finer. This is the famous concept of Dei Machzoiro. Right? Let's say you have a wealthy man who lost his fortune. Okay? I have to have Rachmanis on him. So what does Rachmanis entail? Give him food to eat. Give him a place to live. But, again, if you're sensitive to the person, not just providing him with his needs, so Hashem wants you to actually feel his pain, not just in the fact that he's hungry, but in the fact that he doesn't have the luxuries that he's used to. So ironically, you may have never had these things, but you'll still be expected to provide them for him. Now, what does that mean? I can't buy him a mansion. What it means is, let's say a collection is being made for this man, and he asks, well, what are you trying to provide him with? And you say, well, we need to provide him with two cars. Two cars? I get one of the city cars once a week if I need to drive somewhere. I don't own a car. I have to donate to get him two cars? The Torah says, yes. Yeah. Because, again, for this person, the pain of not having two cars is something you should be sensitive to, even though you never had two cars and it doesn't bother you. Oh, let him get used to the life without two cars. Right? So this was, it's an issue of sensitivity. It's true, he doesn't need it. And you know what? You see this also in that same Gemara. Maybe a person should not get himself used to such standards in the first place. But when a person was living with a certain standard, and now he lost it, we are expected to be sensitive to that, even though it seems unreasonable. And therefore, the Gemara tells this story. This is how we understand the pasuk that says, you have to give him dei machzeira. You have to give him what he's lacking, not just his needs, but what he's lacking. And you have the Gemara that says that there was a very rich man who lost his fortune. We weren't able to collect enough money to provide him with all the luxuries he was used to. Well, this man was used to having a servant run ahead of him and announce him as he went places. So the Gemara says, Hillel, I guess they weren't able to afford such a servant. Hillel did it himself. He ran ahead of this man to make this announcement. So, yeah, the Torah expects refined levels of sensitivity from us. Okay. Move on. Where is the place for cruelty? When it comes to visiting retribution upon the wicked and people who are causing problems. Meaning, yes, we believe in a strong justice system. We believe that when a person did something that is too much of a crime against society. He deserves to be dealt with harshly, and that is not the place to start being soft. That's not the place to start having mercy. This is the time when the Jew, on the contrary, hardens his heart and deals with this person very harshly. Sometimes it'll mean the death penalty. Sometimes it'll mean Malchus. We do believe in the death penalty for criminals who deserve it. Because otherwise, what are you really doing? It's like Chazal say. Otherwise, if you always take an understanding approach, you are lamaisa, just encouraging the behavior more. Which really means that you're harming innocent people by having rachmanis on the wicked. So, yeah, we take a hard-hearted approach toward criminals, toward people who are a threat to society. The chen shtei midas, and there's another two midas. Hagava v'anava, arrogance and humility. Mekayim hagava v'agoiva, where is the place for arrogance? That would seem like it never has a place. It also has a place. Kishetifki'i b'koifim melikim u'banoiti me'or. When you meet people who deny Hashem, people who aren't interested in his service, al kashpili va'al tikoni lehem. Don't act submissive toward them. We'll show how this can be very, very relevant. We'll show momentarily. Don't look as though you justify them. And that you share their lousy opinions. No, on the contrary, now is the time to unleash your arrogance. Which will show how you believe the opposite of them, and your low regard for them. As you know, happened with Mordechai and Haman. Now, where is this relevant? This can be very relevant. I'll just give an example. What's that? But that wasn't why he was doing it. He was making a point of showing him that, but the reason he was making a point of showing him that was really just to put him in his place. I'll give an example just that I experienced. When growing up, my family in the States is a very large, diverse family. Very large, diverse family with all stripes. Real Hasidim, Lubavitchers, modern Orthodox, Yeshivish, you name it. Whatever you wanted, all the different degrees and all the different styles and everything. So, sometimes we would have these family get-togethers. And there would be a certain sense of, you know, being looked down on as the frumi. And a certain need, like as a kid, to like show that I'm not really quite that frum, and I'm really cool, and kind of feeling very apologetic, you know, trying to make, kind of do something with my payas that they shouldn't show so much, and kind of like feeling apologetic about who I was. And on the contrary, kind of kissing up to, you know, the not frumis. This is like this in camp also, right? Probably everybody's familiar with that. So, I remember how my father used to relate, like in these kind of situations. He wasn't a big fan of these situations. He didn't like social settings. But whatever the case is, in these sort of situations, how he used to just convey this certain snobbiness, a certain snobbiness toward, I won't get into examples, but different aspects of more conscientious versus less conscientious, you know, whereas a kid might feel like less conscientious is cooler, he managed to convey a certain snobbiness, like a certain aloofness of looking down on it. Of looking like we're just so much better than that. Now you might say, is that a good thing? Well, some of us are telling us that it is. When it comes to an issue of people who would be disparaging you because of your higher standards, it's on the contrary. Now is the time for you to display a certain arrogance, a certain snobbiness, and kind of look down at them and say, well, who are you exactly? You might not like this, but I'll tell you another story about Rabbi Chaskel Avramsky. We told about him the other day with the courtroom. He was Azus Tekdusha. So he was once meeting with a group of like national leaders. Some Rabbanim there, there were some politicians there, there were some different, all kinds of different people. Some sort of big meeting with national implications. And there was a minister there, a minister from the government, one of the ministers. And this person was a very, very powerful and influential person, but very, very far from the type of lifestyle we admire. So at this meeting, basically like anything he had to say, Rabbi Chaskel Avramsky responded with a sharp retort, or like with a certain disparaging attitude, almost like, oh, you're saying something again. This is not what this guy was used to. He was very much used to, you know, everybody just kissing up to him. It was like Rabbi Chaskel Avramsky was kind of like deigning to look at him. Oh, I have to listen to you again. Well, this person wasn't used to him. He looked at Rabbi Chaskel Avramsky and said, it seems like you really don't think highly of me. Rabbi Chaskel Avramsky looked at him and said, of course not. I have absolutely no regard for a person who doesn't start his day with a daf Gemara. Straight, snobby, to the point. Now, again, you shouldn't do this to everybody who doesn't start their day with a daf Gemara. But the point is that yes, you should be able to convey that if you believe that doing the wrong thing, if you believe in doing the wrong thing and living the wrong kind of life, I will show you that I look down on that. Meaning, if you're flaunting it. Again, this is a fine line to make. Some people just don't live the right way, and we have to relate to them with patience and with love, etc. When a person is coming with the attitude, when a person is coming to flaunt, right, to flaunt that this is what I do, then that's the place to actually show that, you know what, that's what you do, I look down on that. I consider myself higher than that. Now, let's learn the concept. Obviously, it does have to be applied delicately. You have to know where to apply it, when, and how. But the concept should be there. We should understand the concept. Okay. What's the place? Really, what's the place? Okay, next we'll see another. That's a little easier to understand how to apply it. We're moving toward the end. Okay, we'll stop here for today.